Outkick the coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
So, Brady Quinn, I am petitioning for a brand new segment here on FSR. And just so people know, if this gets stolen by another show, you remember where you heard it first. All right, you heard it here first. But I want to start doing something called Weekend at Murphy's. Now Weekend at Murphy's is a little play on the movie Weekend at Bernie's, one of the great flicks of all time, where a couple of guys walk around with a corpse for an entire weekend. And they try and play it off like he's not dead, even though he's actually dead. Now, for me personally, I would assume that rigor mortis would set in, and he'd be a little bit more difficult to move around. But it is the movies, and you got to kind of make things work. You know, fit things in places where they probably don't fit, and so therefore, rigor mortis was not factored into the movie Weekend at Bernie's.
Don't think that maybe some WD-40 wouldn't fix that. You know, maybe they
listen,
figured a way of lubing up the joints there just to be able to move them around.
Am I crazy to say if WD-40 made a cologne, I'd buy it? I think it's one of the most wonderful scents in the world.
That's a first. That's a first. Look, I'm never shocked at all the different things that WD-40 can do. As a cologne, though, I don't know, man.
It smells good, man.
I'm a big cologne guy. That is not something that I would want to put on and wear. And go to my wife, say, "Hey, babe, I'm here."
It smells good.
She'd be like, go jump in the shower. Like, get your stinky butt out of here.
Yeah, I mean, it smells good. I think WD-40's got an aroma to it that I'm a fan of. But
you used to do whippets as a kid? Is that why that smells good to you?
I don't even know what that is. I don't even know what you're getting at. But something tells me I don't even want to go down the road that you're trying to take me down. Like, I want to do a professional broadcast. That's the whole goal here at Fox Sports Radio. And I don't know why you steer me into these conversations. But point being, Mark Murphy, who's the Packers CEO, this is now 2 weekends in a row. Now, a week ago, Mark Murphy was the guy who was responding to fan mail because, I mean, come on, he's a CEO. Why wouldn't he respond to fan mail in 2021? Next week, Mark Murphy's going to churn butter on the lawn with people and then drive around a horse and buggy because it's, you know, basically the 30s, according to Mark Murphy. And he is responding to fan mail, and he's talking about Aaron Rodgers dividing the fan base. You know, a little bit strange considering I think Mark Murphy was the same guy who said, you know, neither side should be speaking publicly about this. Neither side, you know, it's best you just to keep quiet so we don't stir up any more drama. And then Mark Murphy was speaking at an event at Lambeau Field. And he had this to say, and the quote goes like this when the subject of Aaron Rodgers came up. Quote, "I'm often reminded, though, of Ted Thompson. As most of you know, just a great general manager passed away this year. Earlier this year. He often talked about Aaron, that he's a, well, and it's not just Aaron. It's a lot of different players. He would say, quote, he's a complicated fella. So I'll just say that, end quote. Of course, that being transcribed by NBC 26 in Green Bay. So now people running with that as he's taking a shot at Aaron Rodgers, kind of. But I think he caught himself in the middle and tried to say, well, not just Aaron, it's other players involved. But here we go again, man. Like, you're trying to make amends. You're trying to make this thing work. Training camp isn't that far away. And you got the Packers CEO making comments. And we were saying a week ago, listen, maybe this is the problem. Like, we keep trying to find what's the issue. Maybe the issue is Mark Murphy, who just can't keep his mouth shut when they're trying to take care of a sensitive situation.
So it was actually an annual shareholders or stockholders meeting. And that's what makes it a little bit unique, in part because at those sorts of meetings, and anyone who owns stock, right, who has a 401k, you know, you probably have the opportunity to vote in some of your shareholders' meetings. You might get some emails about it. You might get some mailings about it. I would imagine that about 2% of people out there take the time to look into what's being discussed at that specific corporation and actually try to inform themselves and then go vote as a shareholder of a you know, publicly traded company. And so in this case, you know, you have to understand, if you've ever jumped on any of those calls, what do they discuss? Well, they're going to discuss current events, big topics. This is obviously one of them. So as much as Mark Murphy probably didn't want to discuss this, there also, you know, it came to a point where you have to address it. You have to, right? Like, this is like basically any other company that's dealing with, you know, COVID, for example, and then not talking to their shareholders when they've got a shareholder meeting about how to handle a pandemic, right? It would look terrible on their part. So, you know, Mark Murphy has to address the issue. The way he went about doing it is the thing to me that just came off as disrespectful. I mean, in part, he doesn't even use his own words. He uses the words of Ted Thompson. Like, he puts it on a guy who can't speak for himself, who passed away this past January, I believe, who, to be quite frank, did a much better job as the general manager, or this organization operated better when he was the general manager. And I think it's in part because of Mark Murphy and the type of footprint he's trying to put on the Packers organization. This guy is trying to put his fingerprints all over what they're doing as a football mind. And I talked to someone who used to be within the organization on Friday, and we talked for a while about just the differences from Ted Thompson to Brian Gutekunst. And, you know, the response was, well, when Ted was there, you know, Mark stayed out of it. It was all, you know, he just stayed to the business affairs of the organization, of the team. But once Ted left, then Mark got a lot more involved with football and trying to weigh in on more football decisions, an area that he really hadn't ventured into, wasn't successful with. That was more Ted. And that's one of the biggest differences that I think you've seen now, and maybe one of the biggest frustrations that even Aaron has. You know, Aaron might actually be good with Matt LaFleur. He might be good with Brian Gutekunst. It's getting to the point now where I think it is a Mark Murphy, Aaron Rodgers, stare down, and I'm not sure who's going to be willing to budge. Because knowing Mark Murphy, and I've only talked to him on a number of occasions, he's about as stubborn as they come. Now, and Aaron Rodgers is probably the most stubborn person you'll ever meet. So when you heard all those comments on, you know, whether it was Kenny Mayne who was interviewing him, and he kept talking about people, and you read the reports about him, you know, wanting Gutekunst fired, I don't think that's who he wants fired. I think it's Mark Murphy. I think he wants Mark Murphy to step down. And I'll remind people, remember, Mark Murphy's role is like an acting owner of a team. He's the president and CEO on behalf of the board, on behalf of the shareholders. He acts as if it's his team. That's who he's speaking as. So that would be a monumental move if they were to move on, or, you know, to ask Mark Murphy to step down because of his relationship, because of what's going on right now with Aaron Rodgers.
Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox here on Fox Sports Radio. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app. We are continuing the discussion here in regards to the segment that we have come up with called Weekend at Murphy's, where Mark Murphy makes a comment about Aaron Rodgers in public, and then we get a chance to break it all down on a Monday. He's provided us with content 2 weeks in a row, and we appreciate him for it. Now, he said, you know, Aaron Rodgers is a quote unquote complicated fella, as something that Ted Thompson, formerly of the Green Bay Packers, used to say, former general manager. So he's a complicated fella.
I feel like that's like the way I've got a neighbor who explained his Cocker Spaniel. You know, it's like, I just feel like it's disrespectful just calling someone a fella, like he's Elmer Fudd. All right, and he's looking for Bugs Bunny or something.
By the way, isn't fella an Irish term? Like, isn't that something you say in Ireland? Like, isn't that like, hey, fella?
Sure.
Hey,
I fella. There's a lot of Irish terms. I'm not sure that's at the top of the list.
All right. Well, listen, who knows? And furthermore, who cares? All right. So let's just get into that. And by the way, let me be the first here. Happy birthday to your mother-in-law. How about that?
Yeah. Thank you.
That in first.
I love how you just got one in over on me, but thank you for that. Yeah.
All right.
Happy birthday, Gail.
Well, let's come on. We both know this. Our wives, they have something in common. They don't listen to us on the radio. That's why we're able to do the show that we do. So let's just be truthful about it. All right. So here's the thing I always go back to, and I remember seeing it, and I might have brought it up last week, but there was this article that came out. Tyler Dunn of Bleacher Report did this, you know, deep dive article on how things fell apart with Mike McCarthy in the final days there. And that was the story where Mike McCarthy was getting a massage and all this stuff. And Tyler Dunn, you know, stood by his sources and said, no. Like, I'm telling you, I know I got a lot of pushback. And one of the things he got the most pushback from Aaron Rodgers on was there was a comment in the article in which Mark Murphy called up Aaron Rodgers after the hiring of Matt LaFleur, in which Aaron Rodgers wasn't consulted on it. They made the decision. He called up Aaron Rodgers and he said, don't be the problem. Well, that made the article. When Aaron Rodgers was asked about it, he denied it, and he was really, really pissed off about it. Like, just, I mean, you know, that's the writer trying to do this, and that's him trying to do that. And then when they asked Mark Murphy about the article, he just said, well, there's a lot of half-truths in there. And I've always wondered if that conversation did happen, and Aaron Rodgers was bothered that Mark Murphy or somebody close to Mark Murphy went to Tyler Dunn and went to the author of the article and let that get to print as maybe sort of a, I'm trying to establish who runs the show here, and maybe the ego is getting involved so much more so now with Mark Murphy than ever before. And I've always wondered if that was the case here, and it feels like there's a lot of that happening. Like, you got a massive ego up top dealing with Aaron Rodgers, and he wants to establish dominance here in Green Bay.
It's a pretty darn good 2-year stretch right now for Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst. And it seems like between those two and Aaron, they're the ones that take all the credit. Mark Murphy's been there since 2007. I don't hear many people refer to Mark Murphy in his role or in his job as one of the best in the NFL. And again, a lot of that has to do with the fact that they're viewed more as an ownership structure that, you know, has shareholders and a board. And it's different than any other, you know, team that's owned by one individual, or at least a majority owner that has a much more public persona. And so that's where I do wonder how much of a part of this is ego, how much of a part of this is wanting to keep things old fashioned and trying to make this like, hey, it's football, man. There's no one player that's greater than anyone else. And look, as much as I want to agree with that, because I do in a lot of ways, you know, As much of an impact as a quarterback plays on the success of a team or not, or I should say giving a team a chance for success, the reality is there's so many different variables that play a part of your fortune or misfortune. You know, whether you have the protection, whether or not you have the ability of people out around you, whether or not you have a defense that can get a stop. I mean, we might be talking about this different right now if the Packers could have just gotten off the field versus the Bucks, but, you know, after, you know, a defensive pass interference call, some other plays, obviously the end of that first half in the NFC Championship game, yeah, that wasn't the case, right? Kevin King gets beat, you know, Scotty Miller goes in for a touchdown, and it completely changed the energy in that place and the direction of that game. And so the reality is, as important as the quarterback spot is, there's still so many variables that play a part. That being said, it's Aaron Rodgers. He's one of the greatest talents you've ever had. He's a rarity. And I think any Hall of Fame head coach, any good coach would tell you, as much as you want guys to you know, treat them the same and act like they're the same, there's just certain talents that you can't. And you got to kind of cater to them because they're a part of that 1% that'll make a big-time difference. I mean, take Patrick Mahomes, for example. Not that he would ever conduct himself in this way, but if he ever did, think about the 3-year stretch he's on. You know, obviously he didn't play in only but one game his rookie year, week 17. But since that point, they were a coin flip away in overtime, in my opinion, to going to their first Super Bowl. You know, they obviously lose the coin flip. The Patriots drive down the field, score. The rest is history. The next year they go and they win a Super Bowl. Last year they go losing the Super Bowl. The team's decimated though. The reality is, it could have very well been to 3 straight Super Bowls. Like, if Patrick Mahomes started to create a ruckus, I'm sure Andy Reid and the rest of the Kansas City Chiefs organization would figure a way of working it out. And that's the problem here, is it doesn't feel like Mark Murphy wants to work this out. It feels more like Mark Murphy is so hell-bent on holding on to this culture in the Packers organization that no one's bigger than the Packers that they're going to lose one of the greatest talents they've had, and they're going to find themselves in mediocrity the second he walks out the door.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present to thee Brady Quinn.
Jonas, it's been a fun show so far. I got to tell you, though, I am struggling, okay? As you talked about in the first hour, it is my mother-in-law's birthday today.
Yeah.
However, we celebrated with a big Italian dinner last night, and I am hurting. I don't know when the last time you was, but you were in that position. But I don't think I need to eat for like 3 days.
It's
like,
too much,
at that point,
man.
I feel like I've got a bowling ball in my stomach.
It's too much. It's the bread. It's the carbs. It's overload.
It's the chicken parm. That's what it is. It's the copious amounts of chicken parm.
You ate way too much of that. I just want you to know.
I eat too much of pretty much everything.
Yeah. No. It's the chicken parm. It's literally every single time your wife asks you what you want for dinner, your go-to is always chicken parm, which is fantastic.
It's a great dish.
It is. It's the best, in my opinion, the best Italian dish, chicken parm. I mean, if we're going to go top Italian dishes, I would go chicken parm above all else. To be honest,
I would too. I mean, hence the reason why someone asked me what my favorite Super Bowl meal was. And I was like, well, if I could have anything, I mean, I'd sit down and watch the game and have some chicken parm. And they're like, what do you mean, man? That's not like a Super Bowl, you know, meal or super like wings or. And I was like, no, man, like if I could have my druthers, I would sit down with a big old knife and fork and eat a big smattering of chicken parm and watch the Super Bowl. That would be nirvana for me. But
did anybody make chicken parm wings, like boneless wings or chicken? Huh. Like, there's got to be somebody out there that makes it. Hey, Roberto, you're a chef. Why don't you get on that, man? Like, come on. Like, you could really corner the market on that, Roberto, if you get on the chicken parm
breading,
or buffalo wings.
You know, add a little sauce on top and then throw on some mozzarella.
I do
bring
my own wings, by the way. Yeah.
And Roberto, he makes his own wings. Have a chicken parm wings, Roberto. What about those?
Do you kill the chickens? Is that what you do,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got a chicken thing in my backyard.
Yeah,
yeah. Interesting.
A chicken thing
too.
In my backyard.
Jonas would know about that.
Yeah, well, listen, let me tell you something, man.
I grew up where he did.
Yeah. Brady doesn't know that life, Roberto.
Yeah, he doesn't live in the hood like I do.
Yeah, Brady doesn't know that life, man.
I don't know that rural life coming from Ohio. Yeah, I have no idea what that's about, right?
Yeah, you don't get it, man. You grew up on the beach, man, not like Roberto and I.
Exactly.
make it.
The beaches of Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, damn right. Boneless Parmesan chicken parm wings seems like something somebody should do. And let me tell you something. They probably already do. It's not like we're inventing anything here on Sports Talk Radio. So let's just be truthful about it on a Monday morning. Brady Quinn, there's a real problem that's about to take place for one Kyler Murray. Now, there's a couple of parts of this conversation we could have. We can get into how things are going to go for Kyler Murray and the Cardinals if they end up not doing what they're expected to do, which is take a next step in year three of the Kyler Murray experience. And then we can also have the conversation about Kyler Murray, who felt the need to take a battle axe to the entire Dallas Cowboy organization. According to the Blogging the Boys Twitter account, he grew up in Texas, and he was asked whether or not he was a Dallas Cowboy fan growing up, and he said no because, quote, they were always ass. All right, end quote. That from Kyler Murray. Again, that is not me making these comments. That he's going to have to deal with not only the Dallas Cowboy fan base, but Skip Bayless, who I know Skip and Shannon will do good work on this coming up later on Fox Sports 1. But he's got a point. I mean, you know, it's been a long, long time since the Dallas Cowboys have been a legitimately good team. I think we pointed it out since the Super Bowl, their last Super Bowl in 1996, and some would argue that, you know, they can thank Neil O'Donnell and some of those passes in that Super Bowl against the Pittsburgh Steelers. But since that Super Bowl in 96, they've got 4 playoff wins. So for Kyler Murray and people of his age group, when were they good? Like when was this a legitimate team? Yet they're talked about in such glowing terms still to this day as being America's team. I'm on the side of Kyler Murray here. I think it's a totally fair thing to say based on what the Dallas Cowboys have given us the past couple of decades.
I'm counting it up right now. I think they've had a number of winning seasons. They've been probably, 500 since the start of the new millennium as far as winning seasons. But to your point, they haven't sniffed the NFC Championship game. And they've been marred by either bad luck or disappointment, and it seems like it's been overhyped more than anything else. So I think it's kind of a reality check for the Dallas Cowboys. But the truth of the matter is, this year could be the year that changes things. I mean, offensively, they're stacked. Defensively, they're looking or hoping to improve with Dan Quinn now brought in as their defensive coordinator after the one-year experiment with Mike Nolan didn't work. They were god-awful. So Mike McCarthy makes the change, brings in Dan Quinn, who obviously had a lot of success during his time in Seattle, helping the Seahawks to go to back-to-back Super Bowls with that Legion of Boom. But the problem is, I'm not sure the personnel is quite there in Dallas to get them to that point. But Kyler Murray's not wrong. I don't know that I'd describe it in that way, but you know, he's also a little more than a decade younger than I am. So I think this is an example of a reality check for where the Dallas Cowboys are at, their fan base is at. And by the way, this ties to like the University of Texas. There's a lot of talent that leaves the state of Texas to go elsewhere to play football.
100%.
Or at least not going to Austin. And reason being is it just doesn't have the same feel for it anymore. You know, I'm not saying the Dallas Cowboys are venturing into that as far as free agencies and players saying, I don't want to go there because they're just not successful. I don't want to have to deal with Jerry Jones. Because by and large, people look at what he did for Dak. They look at how they take care of some of the other players too with their contracts and renewing them. And I think they look at them quite fondly. And plus, it's the Dallas Cowboys. So, you know, players having another opinion. But I do think the fan base always has high expectations, as they should. It's the Dallas Cowboys, but he's not wrong. I mean, they have had a long drought without much legitimate success outside of, you know, again, being able to have some success in the regular season in a division that, let's just say, hasn't really been all that great.
Yeah, well, it's like, you know, like the comp I look at is like Miami Hurricanes. So like the Miami Hurricanes when we grew up, man, those were some of the great teams of all time. Like that Miami Hurricane team in the early 2000s that was just loaded. I think Ken Dorsey was the quarterback, but they were loaded with McGahee and Frank Gore was there and Jeremy Shockey and like all of the oh my god, just go up and down the lineup, and they were just stacked all the way through. Antrell Roll, I think, was on that team too. Like, we grew up and Miami football was a big deal. Like, the Miami Hurricanes were the team. Well, there's a generation of people who don't know that Miami team. They look at it and they go, okay, cool, you hired Manny Diaz. And, I mean, you know, Manny Diaz kind of, burned Temple. But, again, we're not here to bring up the past. Or not here to bring up that he ditched Temple after accepting the job or anything like that. I don't want to go there. We're not trying to do that. But there's a whole generation of people and kids that are coming up that are like, dude, I only know mediocre football from the Dallas Cowboys or from the Miami Hurricanes. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. It's like USC. Like we all think of USC in the early 2000s. Man, those great USC teams. When's the last time USC was good? Like when's the last time like USC was legitimately good, yet they're talked about constantly as, oh man, you know, the USC. It's like, how many, like, you just let a homeless guy field punts. Like, how many years needs to go by before you realize, like, in the words of Rick Pitino, they're not walking through that door. It's a new time. There are new powerhouses in football. And the Dallas Cowboys, and I credit Jerry Jones, they continue to be at the forefront of the conversation, and they've been mediocre at best the last 15 to 20 years.
Well, I think the hard thing is for any fan base is, and especially for us, because we kind of look back and we can look back and see more of the history of some of these teams. But we are an all or nothing society. It's either a championship or it's not.
Damn right.
But the problem is there are times when you look at teams that have gotten close. Like, for example, the betting favorite, even though they didn't win the Super Bowl last year, but the betting favorite to win the Super Bowl this year is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
And the reason being is Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, obviously. A lot of respect for those guys, although there's one player who didn't enjoy his time in Kansas City. We'll get to that later on. But the reality is they look at those two, they see their track record of success, and they go, we expect them to win the AFC. We expect them to be, you know, potentially winning the Super Bowl or maybe have the best chances. There's just not that expectation with the Cowboys because they haven't even been close. Like, that was the thing about the Chiefs even building into what they've done with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Is when Alex Smith was there with Andy Reid, they were close. They just weren't quite there to get over the edge. And I think that's the frustration for, I don't care whether you're talking about USC, who's at times had some good seasons in the Pac-12. You know, they've been able to win the Pac-12 or be competitive in the Pac-12. But as far as the national stage, compared to what like Reggie and Matt were doing back then, it's been nowhere close. Nowhere close. You know, I mean, they haven't even been in the college football playoff. So, you know, with expansion now, that gives that affords them an opportunity. I would think right now more than ever, by the way, not to get off on a tangent, but because you brought them up and with college football playoff expanding to 12 teams, potentially even this year, if not next year, is there will be more coaches at prominent programs getting fired quicker. Because if you can't be a part of one of those six at-large bids, and that's not... Yeah. You know, conference champions, right? The Power Five conference champions, or, you know, a group of five obviously isn't viewed in the same light. But if you can't be in one of those six at-large bids, or, if, you know, if you're not winning your conference championship, you're out. So there's going to be more pressure. That's what I wonder about this season for the Dallas Cowboys. And I feel like we're obviously pivoting away from what Kyler said, and we'll get to him later on and what the season means for him and the Cardinals. But the truth of the matter is, if Mike McCarthy has a ho-hum season, let's say, for example, they go 9-8 or 8-9. Remember, there's no more 500, right? Yeah. We've got 17 games. So you're either losing or you're winning. I do wonder how he's going to be perceived. I do wonder what Jerry Jones is going to say after the season, because you know he likes to talk. Oh, you know, throughout the course of the year, the radio shows, he likes to chime in and talk. And I do wonder what the conversation or narrative is going to be if we don't see improvement from what was a 6-10 team, yes, without Dak Prescott. But I think people started to look at Mike McCarthy and go, all right, if this happens 2 years in a row, though, maybe it was Aaron Rodgers. You know, maybe it was the Hall of Fame quarterbacks he worked with during his time there that allowed him to have that success. It's going to be interesting to see, depending on what happens this year, how Jerry Jones views Mike McCarthy and really how the fan base views Mike McCarthy.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are going to get to this story in the NFL regarding why one team got in a little bit of trouble, but I want to make sure we have enough time for that. And with Headliner Live coming, we're a little bit cramped. So we will get to that coming up later on this hour here on Fox Sports Radio. Yeah. But if you want to be a part of the debut edition of Headline or Lie here on Outkick the Coverage, 877-99-ON-FOX is the phone number, 877-996-6369. This is sports radio history. I don't believe that we've done Headline or Lie here in this time slot during the week, Brady Quinn. 877-99-ON-FOX. We're looking for two participants. We will explain the rules when you get through, so that way everybody's on the same page. 877-996-6369. And I know Danny, we were able to figure out, we had some tech issues, but we are able to get this done, correct?
Clay Travis would be proud of you too, because true to Outkick form, the phones in Nashville are down. If you could if you could put Dub up on the air really quick, Roberto. Dub, what's the situation there in Nashville?
Well, it's a tale as old as time, as many of us know, with the phones not being able to operate here. We had a little extra work put in yesterday to try to find a solution to the problem. We thought we did. However, we didn't, so here we are.
and really quick, Clay wanted to weigh in on this.
I swear to God!
Clay, I'm here.
Talk!
I'm here.
It's 2021. Why is this an issue still?
Talk!
I don't think people know how to actually dial out on phones anymore because they text all the time. Like I don't think that's something people know how to do. But if you do want to be a part of the game, 877-99 on Fox, the phone number, 877-996-6369. Headline or lie coming up here momentarily. And as Brady Quinn pointed out, I mean, we are willing to accept any callers, anybody that wants to be a part of sports radio history. Brady Quinn, they can do so on a little headline or lie.
That's right. It'll be our first ever during the week. I'm not sure how this is going to go, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes the callers get a little bit wild. We have to use the dump button, whatever the case may be. So this one's going to be interesting. It's either going to be incredibly boring because we've got a bunch of sober callers calling in, or it's going to be a great time. And maybe we've got some people who are trying to keep the party going well into their Friday.
And it's very easy. This is Brady Quinn and I will read you a headline, and you have to tell us whether or not it's an actual headline or a lie. So it's not the most difficult thing in the world. So if you've got the guts and you want to be a part of sports radio history, headline or lie, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. We have thrown out the gauntlet. We have asked who out there has the guts to be a part of it. So without further ado, it is time for the debut weekday edition of something we do on the show, and it's called This.
News.
Turn on the news.
Is it a headline or is it a lie? Let's go to the news desk.
What's the good news?
Here's Jonas Knox and Brady Quinn.
And away we go here on Fox Sports Radio. Let's get it started. We go all the way to Waco, Texas, where Miles is listening here on Fox Sports Radio. Miles, what's happening?
What's up, Miles?
Good morning.
Good morning, Miles. What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing fine, man. Just making my way to work.
All right. Well, Miles, we want to send you off to work in a good mood, and we want to make sure you get on the air here and participate in this game. So who do you want to team up with? You can team up with Brady Quinn or myself.
Oh, I'm going with Jonas.
There you go. Good man. Good man, Miles.
You know what's so weird about this is he sounds so sober, and it's such a transition from what we're accustomed to.
Like,
usually there's background noise, a little bit of slurring, or just a pause because they're still trying to understand what's happening in their life right now. But Miles sounds dead sober, so I guess that's a good thing. He's going to work.
I'm good with that. I feel more confident about my my partner here. Let's meet Brady Quinn's partner, and to do so, we go all the way to Pittsburgh, where Dino is listening here on Fox Sports Radio. Dino, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Just hanging out, Dino. Are you excited to be a part of a sports radio history, the weekday debut of Headline or Lie?
Well, you better believe it.
All right, so Dino, nice. you're gonna be teaming up with Brady Quinn. If you are good with that, we will get things started here.
No, definitely.
All right, so here we go. This is how it works, gentlemen. Brady Quinn and myself have a list of headlines each. We are going to read ours to each other's partner. You have to tell us whether or not it's a headline or a lie. And if we're tied at the end of this list, we have a tiebreaker question. So it's very easy stuff, headline or lie. If you're ready to go, Dino, I will start with you, Brady Quinn's partner.
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
All right, so here we go. Dino, headline or lie? The NFL sent a memo to players earlier this week saying those who aren't vaccinated will have to wear a mask under their helmet during preseason games and while they brush their teeth.
That's a lie.
Very good.
That-a-way, Dino.
Very good.
That-a-way, Dino. Way to get it started, buddy.
That was good. That was an easy one. No, that's good.
It's not that far-fetched.
It's really not. And you know who's going to write about it is Mike Florio,
Mike
Pro
Florio.
Football Talk. All right. What a loser. Here we go, Miles. Headline or lie? Garrett Cole signs marketing deal with SpiderTac after all but admitting he uses the substance while pitching.
Ooh.
deadline.
I mean, it's just
come on,
it's just
dude.
Unbelievable, man. This is literally a continuation of Sunday nights where I get screwed every single week.
Oh, it's just one. It's
I'm
just one. Play the game. You're fine.
All right, here we go. Dino in Pittsburgh here. Brady Quinn's partner with a 1-0 lead here on Headline or Lie on Fox Sports Radio. Dino, Headline or Lie. A man dumped 80,000 pennies on the lawn for his last child support payment.
That's a headline there.
It is.
Dino's on fire now. He's on fire.
Hey, by the way, what a move, huh?
I mean,
80,000 pennies.
Look, if it was like alimony from a divorce, that's one thing. But like child care, come on.
Yeah,
man,
I know.
That's kind of a bad look. That's douchey. I'm with you.
Spends the same.
Not a good look.
You know? I mean.
All right, here we go, Miles. We've got to transition before we get in trouble. Headline or lie? A Louisiana woman is accused of refusing to return $1.2 million after a bank error.
Headline.
All right, he's on the board. He's on the board.
My heart skipped a beat there. All right, very good. We are back in this game, Miles. So let's go over to Dino in Pittsburgh. This is Headline or Lie here on Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox, Brady Quinn here on Outkick the Coverage. All right, so Dino, Brady Quinn's partner, Headline or Lie. A former NFL quarterback was arrested in Fort Lauderdale recently after neighbors spotted him defecating in their pools and blaming it on a raccoon.
Lie. That's a lie.
Yeah, thank you, Dino. Thank you for that.
Hey, you know what? Hey, Dino. Yeah. Dino, it ain't that much of a lie.
Yeah. All right, you like that, huh? All right, here we go. Nice job, Dino. Miles, headline or lie? After locking up a national daily morning radio show, Fox Sports radio show host inks marketing deal with Squatty Potty.
Lie.
Thank you, Miles.
Hey, Miles.
Thank you, Miles.
Not that far from the truth.
Yeah. Thank you, Miles. Yeah. Old dark undies over there. Don't worry about it, Miles. We're on the right side of this. All right, Dino in Pittsburgh, Brady Quinn's partner. Here we go. Dino, you have a 3-2 lead here on Headline or Lie. You have not missed yet. So, Dino, Headline or Lie. In an interview with ESPN, LeBron James said he chose the number 6 next season because it's how many coaches he's asked to be fired during his career.
That's a lie.
Oh, God, I almost had him. Damn it.
See, this is the difference. This is the difference between Friday morning and Sunday night. Sunday night, he says the wrong thing there because he's so inebriated that he gets mixed up in his head.
100%. Dino, I know you're Pittsburgh. Dino, if you had a case of Iron Cities in you, you would have said lie right there. Or you would have said headline right there, and I would have gotten the correct answer. A couple of Iron Cities in Dino going through his blood, that would have gone the other way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well done, though. You fought through it. We got it. All right.
All right.
Here we go, Miles.
Where
you got to keep pace.
Now? Yeah.
It's
are we
going to
lose
two.
Here?
Yeah. I mean, at this point, it's not looking good for you. Miles, you have to get this one right. Otherwise, you are eliminated, okay?
All right,
here we go. Headline or lie? A naked woman, 53, tasered and charged with aggravated battery on law enforcement and felony criminal mischief after wrecking an Outback Steakhouse.
Headline.
Oh, yeah. Man, you are money.
Hey,
Miles,
can I be honest with
money,
you? Did
man.
You see the video of that?
I did.
For 53, she looked pretty
gotta
good.
You,
just
man.
Saying. I'm just gotta, saying. For 53, she looked pretty good.
You gotta, hey,
I didn't think she was 53. I was like, there's no. That was what I actually got from that one. There's no way that woman's 53. Yeah.
I already filed the papers. All right, a headline or lie here on Fox Sports Radio, Brady Quinn. thank God she's asleep. All right, here we go. Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox here, headline or lie. All right, so Dino, this is a situation. If you get this correct, you will win the game for you
do it
and
for
Brady
Pittsburgh.
Quinn. All right, yeah,
do it
Dino,
for Pittsburgh, Dino.
Dino, do it for Pittsburgh if you can. Here we go. Headline or lie, Dino, Brady Quinn's partner.
One of the substances used to increase spin rate on baseballs in the city of Philadelphia last season was actually from a zit on the back of Carson Wentz's neck.
That's a lie.
I don't know if he was going to make it there or not.
Job well done. Congratulations, well done, Dito. Hey, Miles, have a good day at work, man. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yep.
There it is.
You are ruthless. You are ruthless.
What?
I mean, at this point, my gosh. All right.
I mean, you know.
Here's what you did. You lost, but you set the standard, okay? You set the standard for our first one. It was a very, very memorable first one. So.
That's unbelievable, man.
Oh, man.
Damn, I thought
he was going to get it wrong.
See, here's the problem. Once you get behind in this game by one or two, it's so hard to catch up because usually the grab-ass ones come later on.
Three or after, usually. Yeah, I mean, I don't like to start off with them just because I like to make you think I'm not going to take a shot at you each week.
Oh, man.
And then, look, as we get to know everyone, whether it's Eddie or Danny or Roberto – as we get to know guys more, we'll incorporate taking shots at you too. So don't feel like anyone's safe.
Okay? Listen, after Dub just revealed the issue with the phones there in Nashville, that'll be a subject matter, 100%. Yeah, that's definitely going to be a subject matter.
We don't like to give away too much. We'll see.
All right, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox here on Fox Sports Radio. This is Outkick the Coverage here on FSR. Coming up next, a team in the NFL made a decision, and apparently the reason for the decision was more than what we previously thought. We will get into all of that for you here. Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio.
Talk!
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Coming up in a little over 10 minutes from now here on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates, it'll be the Dan Patrick Show. Make sure you check out DP and the guys as they will bring you all the latest from the world of sports here. Again, a little over 10 minutes from now on many of these FSR affiliates. And then Brady Quinn and I will be back all week here rolling through here on Outkick the Coverage, Brady Quinn. And hopefully you will have fully digested the 75 pieces of chicken parm you decided to eat yesterday.
Probably not. I think I gained 8 pounds between last night's dinner and this morning. I do have a random question for you, though, because I was thinking about this before the show. Didn't have a chance to ask you when we were talking about the Nets and the Bucks, but I noticed something in watching that game. I saw J.J. Watt, which, I get it. He went to Wisconsin. Obviously, I'm sure he's grew up a big Bucks fan, close proximity to the Bucks growing up. But can you root for both teams? I feel like I've seen him at a Suns game, too, where he was rooting for the Suns. I mean, I get it. They're in different conferences, East and West. But I kind of feel like you're not really a fan if you're rooting for both, or you're at least seen publicly rooting for both.
Yeah, I want that to be the NBA Finals matchup, Suns and Bucks, because I want to see what he does. Like, does he just decide not to show up to any games because he doesn't want to offend anybody, and instead he just brings the Hard Knocks crew out and so he can do workouts after hours?
No.
Is that what happens?
He's got a couple options, okay? So I'm going to lay out three for you, and this is why I would know this, because my sister, who's married to AJ Hawk, decided to wear a split jersey for the Fiesta Bowl back in 2005. So he's always got the option of creating a split jersey, okay? That's one option. The other option, and really this kind of is options two and three, let's just say, for example, it ends up being the Bucks and Suns. Let's say it ends up being that. He goes to both stadiums, whether it's there, whichever team's home, and he wears that jersey, okay? So let's just say it ended up being the Suns are hosting them game one.
Yeah.
He wears a Phoenix Suns jersey. He's rooting for the Suns. But underneath, because we know he likes to take his shirt off, he takes off that jersey and he's got painted onto his body a Bucks jersey.
Yep,
and he does the same thing, but the with a Bucks jersey and had the Phoenix Suns paint.
That's good.
When they're in Milwaukee, that I could see JJ Watt doing that. That guy loves to have his shirt off.
Yeah, and if they could just, I don't know if he can even bring, with the COVID restrictions, I don't even know if he can bring these into the arena, but if he could have his own squat rack there.
That's right, like a squat rack
so that he could, get a couple of, and just, but again, make sure that everybody is paying attention to him because, he's all about the team.
I think there's a better chance that they get him some dumbbells. That's probably a little easier. They get some dumbbells next to his seat.
That's a good point.
And while the game's going on the floor, he's doing curls. And, it ends up that Giannis Antetokounmpo twists his ankle on one of J.J. Watt's dumbbells.
That's nice.
The Suns win the series. I'm just being prophetic right now.
Yeah, Liz, there's all sorts of options for him. Or, what he could do? He could start a beer snake. That J.J. Watt. While he was at one of the games, he could start a beer snake. Because I don't know if you'd seen this, Brady, but at Wrigley Field, because they relaunched Wrigley Field capacity crowd this weekend against the Cardinals. It was madness. It was chaos. They called it Opening Day 2.0. The fans in the bleachers started a beer snake, which is where you take a plastic beer cup and you stack it on another. And they tried to get as many as they could, and it looked like it went about 15 rows up. I have no idea how this is even humanly possible to have that many cups stacked together, but they had this giant beer snake at Wrigley Field. I know you've been to Wrigley Field before. Did you throw out the first pitch?
Yeah, I got to throw out the first pitch. I was a little bit hungover for that, but yeah, I got to throw out the first pitch.
That's good. So Wrigley Field, it is always a good time, but the beer snake, I feel like, is going to be what we should focus on as opposed to players getting popcorn dumped on them. I think the beer snake is going to be the trendy thing this summer in ballparks across the country, and people out there are going to try and one-up each other with these beer snakes. I'm telling you, I think this is big business.
Well, and obviously, beer snakes are really just an example of how many beers people in attendance have had.
And I
think if we've witnessed anything with some of these stadiums or arenas and these crowds, is they have been waiting for the moment to get back there and go watch live sporting events. So clearly, I think we're in an era where the beer snake may be as big as we've ever seen. Like, that one was one of the bigger ones we've seen. It wasn't fully erect, so it was hard to tell, right? Because it was kind of curved. It was like slithering up.
And it felt like it was breaking apart. So people were having to hold it. And here's the other thing.
There's a lot of people with their hands on that.
That just goes to show you how much money is spent on booze at ballparks. Like, how much money was probably in that beer snake? Like, if you figure beers are, what, like 12, 13 bucks a beer?
Is that how much they are now?
$15
at Dodger Stadium.
They're $15 at Dodger Stadium. Yeah, so if you so what are we talking? Like, how much money is in that? Like, we're
talking,
you've got
a kid's college tuition in that beer snake.
Yes. I mean, but look, you got priorities, man. Yeah. It's either
Dad, I want to go to college one day. Well, son, see those 10 beers right there? That was part of your college tuition. Yeah. Looks like we better enjoy these Dodgers while we got them.
Son, you want college? It's in the bottom of that old style light in the fridge. All right, go get me one and call it a day, Chief. We'll be back tomorrow. Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio.